I want to continue on in this series of sermons called The World versus the Word. And this morning, I'm going to touch on something that I think that the church gets right for the most part, but I think even the church needs to be reminded of this, because I will often say, this might be foundationally the most important thing that you're going to hear me ever say. Well, this morning is one of those things that I think if we really tapped into this, speaking of spiritual warfare, that it changes everything, and it has the power to transform our prayer life. And I hope that you have an active prayer life. I hope that you are going before the Lord and that you are letting your heart be known, that you are developing a relationship through your prayer time. I hope that you are just spending time with the Lord. As we're reminded in Luke chapter 5, Jesus just disappeared several times a day. And where would the disciples find him? Somewhere off by himself. He had withdrawn to lonely places and prayed. And that is what we need to do in our life. And I hope that you have an active prayer life. But I want to talk about prayer today. Anything that we pray for, any burden that we have, when we gather around Guffey, we're gathering around Brooke, and we're invading heaven together to invite the Lord to just touch her body in a special way. That is a special moment of prayer. But oftentimes, we will find, and this applies to the church, and it also applies to the world, but especially the world, that we will go before the Lord, and the world, sometimes they don't know who they're praying to, but they'll pray because there is a situation, there is a tragedy, there is something that they need to react to. And oftentimes our prayers are reactive only. Now we will pray because Brookie's in the hospital and we're going to pray, but here's my prayer for you, church, is that the only time that you're praying isn't because something happened. That's a reactive prayer life. In other words, what is it that's troubling you in your life, that some situation that you need to rise up above, and that the only time you go before the Lord is because of situations that come up in your life, whether it's a health concern or a relationship problem or a financial situation, whatever it is, if those are the only time you're going before the Lord, your prayer life is reactive. The Bible's going to teach us that we need to be proactive in our prayer time. The world will pray only reactively. Something happens. There's an accident. Somebody's hurt. They might reach out. And there are many times, and you know people that may not know who the Lord is, but they will pray. They might not know who they're praying to, but the situation is so much on their heart that they want to reach out to something or someone. We've talked about this before, but I believe that what they're actually doing is responding to God's grace, because God gives us enough of Him, prevenient grace, for us to know that there is a God and that He is there waiting for us to reach out to Him. And even the world, that they may not know who Jesus Christ is. Maybe they don't know what you know and have what you have, but there's enough in them that they will pray. That's good. But it's always reactive. They're praying for things that are broken. And they want the things that are broken to be unbroken, to be fixed. Oh, I think it's good that we pray that way. It was an honor to pray for Brookie. It's also good that when we get ready to eat our plate of nuggets, that we give thanks to the Lord God Almighty and say thank you out of gratitude for Him and His sustenance. But that can't be the only time we pray, but that is the only time the world prays, is because some situation is broken. Now that cannot permeate the church. Do we pray reactively? You better believe it, because if there's a prayer need, we're going to surround the family and we're going to invade heaven together, because prayer matters. Prayer equals change. Prayer is the most powerful weapon at our disposal. But what if we learn, instead of just reactively praying, what if we learned how to proactively pray before something bad happens? But those proactive prayers to be more important than anything else that a reactive prayer might address. More important than health and healing. More important than a relationship problem. More important than a financial issue. More important than anything else. What if our prayer life turned into something different where 90% of the time we're praying proactively and 10% of the time we're praying reactively? This is the power that I want to speak to you about today, because this transforms everything. To pray for the things that are really important. Oh, we can pray for Aunt Susie's neighbor's friend in Florida that stubbed her toe and now she's in the emergency room and they're fixing her broken toe. But in the scope of eternity, is that important? Let's be honest, sometimes it's the only time we pray. We reactively pray because there's a situation. I think the Lord God might look down upon us and say, oh my goodness gracious, you're worried about her toe? Or you're worried about this test result or whatever it is, when what you never come before me about are about the things that are eternal, the things that are going to last not just today, but tomorrow and next week and all through eternity? When is the last time, you're not going to raise your hands on this one, when is the last time that you drug your friend into the Holy of Holies, not because they have a broken toe, but because you're worried about her or his soul? Or what is the last time that you prayed for a fellow believer to grow in their faith, to experience more of God's goodness, for God's mercy to just reign in their life so that they would know him better? When is the last time that we spent time praying like that? That's spiritual warfare, Kayla. That's the kind of prayer that we need to be engaged with, and it needs to be 90-10, not 10-90, or not 100-0. If we're going to take time is one of the most precious things we have, agreed? If we're going to carve out time, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I don't think he prayed for Aunt Susie's broken toe. If he took the time, and we take the time to get ourselves alone with the Lord God Almighty, that's a very holy and special thing to do. That time is precious. We should make the most of it. Now, what does that look like? And we're going to dive into this in a minute. I don't want to waste that special, precious commodity called time, and I especially don't want to waste the time that I spend in the Holy of Holies. I want my prayers to just matter beyond the moment. Oh, I have in the moment prayers. Of course we do. Because the Lord God has invited us to do that. He's inviting us to take all of our cares, all of our burdens, all of our anxieties, and put them at his feet. Make our hearts known to him. But what if we ask the Holy Spirit today, in this room, in this moment, to change our thinking, to change our hearts, that we don't have the desire, when we have time spent with the Lord, to just tell him everything that's broken in our life? What if our desire changed so that our prayers weren't about temporary things or about us? And what if it was about something bigger that was beyond us? What if we had the desire to pray for each other in a much deeper way? We proactively prayed for your faith to increase, for you to be closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. John, I would want that for you more than anything else, because I love you with all my heart. Oh, if you have a broken toe, I'll meet you in the emergency room. We're going to patch you up. But some prayers are just bigger, and they matter more. And it's beyond the moment, and it lasts all through eternity. What if we had the desire to pray that way, more than any other way we could ever pray? What if that's how we spend our day? These precious times that we carve out to spend with the Lord God Almighty. There's a passage in the book of Ephesians where Paul is writing to a group of people that he loves with all of his heart. The church in Ephesus, he loves more than anybody else. He has spent time with them. He poured into them. He knows them. Just like I can close my eyes and I can picture who you are. What a privilege it is to have been here for the last 15 years. To be able to worship with Grandpa Jay. There are some that are no longer with us because some have gone on to heaven and they have just poured into us. There are some that have moved on. There are new families, but here's what I can tell you for sure. Each one of them are special. They're special to me, but we are special to each other. It's a privilege to be able to gather in God's house and to create community and family. That's why moments like this, where we pray over Brookie, where we baptize 18 people, when we come together and we have biscuits and gravy on a Saturday morning, and then we have trivia on a Saturday night, God's people coming together, it just matters. Because real family is created, and when real family is created, then we care for each other deeper and on a deeper level than ever before, and it should transcend anything else in our life. But what a privilege it is to be able to pray for one another. The month of October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Now, you know what that means. That means that for Karen and I, you're going to ingratiate us with some gifts, and thank you so much for doing that. I know you appreciate us, and we love you, but I look at those words, pastor appreciation, and I thought I would use this Sunday to give my own pastor appreciation, meaning I'm a pastor who appreciates you, that I just love you all so much. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to convey this to you, like the Apostle Paul does at the church at Ephesus. He loves them so much that he wants to present to them something that he does for them that he hopes they will do, because this is spiritual warfare and it's a different way to pray. It's proactive and it just matters. And I want you to know that when I pray for you, I pray this over you. I pray the things that matter because I love you with all of my heart. And Morgan, I just don't want your broken foot to be healed. I want something more than that. I want something greater than anything that could be happening in your life. And so I pray this over you. I want to set the scene for you. The Apostle Paul founded the church at Ephesus. He loves the church there. He loves the people there. And he's writing this letter to them. And he's giving thanks to the Lord for the people. And then he tells the people that he is praying for them in three specific things. And I just want to share this with you because I want you to know that I pray these things over you. But he starts off so beautifully. First of all, he said, we are in Christ. We are family. We are a body of believers. Therefore, and that's why the there is therefore. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. I'm going to start with verse 15. In some versions, there's a therefore. We're in Christ. Therefore, here's what I do when I think of you. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, in other words, to be part of you, to experience you, to watch your faith grow, it inspires me. I have not stopped giving thanks for you. A good pastor, remembering you in my prayers. This is what he asks for. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you know the hope in which you He has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Praise be to Father for the reading of his word. Three things the Apostle Paul prays for. First of all, he prays these things because, not because it's in his job description. Oh, he's their pastor. But he doesn't pray these things because, well, that's what the pastor is supposed to do. He prays these things because he's head over in love with his people. He loves them with all of his heart. He can't stop thinking about them. He remembers them. He knows them. He knows them by name. He has a relationship with them. He can't stop thinking about them. He remembers them constantly. And when he remembers them, he is thankful. He's thankful for each one of them. He's filled with joy because of his people. And because of that, do you have anybody in your life that when you think of them, you're filled with joy? You're filled with thanksgiving? You're filled with gratitude? Do you have anybody in your life that when you see them coming, your heart just flutters? And you want good things for them? I know you do. This is how Paul feels about the people at Ephesus. He loves them. And because he loves them, he's full of thanksgiving for them. Now, if he's full of thanksgiving for them, he wants good things for them. So he tells them what he does then. He does the thing that he could do that is the greatest thing that a pastor could ever do for his people. He prays for them in three areas. It isn't about temporary problems. It's about eternal. It's about their relationship with God. It's about something that will last now, tomorrow, and all throughout eternity. The greatest thing that somebody could ever do for you, ever, is to pray these things over you. I read the words, but I want to kind of just stop and break this down for you. The first thing that he prays for is that the Holy Spirit would give you more wisdom so that you would know the Lord God better. I want to tell you something, church. Because I love you, because the Apostle Paul loved the people at Ephesus, he wanted those people to know the Lord God better. So that's what he prayed over them. Pray for wisdom so that this one and that one would know the Lord God better. What greater thing could somebody want for somebody else other than that? I can't think of anything. For you to know the Lord better, I want you to know that I pray that over you. I see your face and I know who you are and I can picture where you sit. And I come into this room and I pray and I just imagine each of your faces and each of you. You have individual lives, and I just pray that in the midst of your daily comings and goings that you would experience more of God and you would know him better. I want you to know that you are prayed for over this. Oh, if you have a broken toe in the emergency room, please call so that we can come together and to help you. And I will spend time praying over that, but I want you to know that that is such a small part of how I pray for each one of you. I want something more than that for you. I want you to experience him. But I can't do that for you. You have to step into that. So I pray that each one of your hearts will yield themselves over to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to show you how to know the Lord better. He goes on to say that he wants to give you enlightenment so that you will understand the hope that you have. In other words, you understand how amazing and privileged you really are to have a relationship with the Lord God Almighty. On our best day, we're a pile of filthy rags. And the fact, the idea that we are part of God's family, what a blessing that is. I pray that you get it. I pray that you understand that this moment in this house, for 60 minutes or so, That's not just something that you do. We're here because we get it. The Lord God is not just the Lord God, far away and removed. He is intimate and He's personal. He is for us. He's called us into something greater. He wants a relationship with each one of us. He is inviting us in. I pray that you understand the hope that you have in heaven. I pray that you get it and you understand that God loves you and God is for you and God is it. He is everything. He's a very jealous God, by the way. He doesn't want just part of you. He wants all of you. And I pray that you would just be all in. That church and spiritual things and discipleship and involving yourself in evangelism and in the mission isn't just part of what you do, but it would be the thing, the driving force, your priority, that you understand the greatest thing you could ever give yourself over to is whatever He has, and you get to be a part of that. You are blessed. I pray that you understand that. That you've been given a life that's beautiful. Vicky, you got a good mom and daddy, right? You have a blessing. You have a great life. You have a beautiful blessing, but understand this. As beautifully blessed as you are, your life doesn't belong to you. You've been positioned where you're positioned so that God can use you, just like Danessa sang about, and that you understand that. I not just pray that you do those things with your life, I pray that you first get it. Because until you get it, until that light bulb moment, and you realize, my goodness gracious, in spite of me, God wants to use me. I get to be used by God. I get to be used for God. Until you have that moment, you will never give your life over to Him. And I pray that you just understand how privileged you really are to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the third thing He prays for is for you to understand that you have at your disposal the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You have that at your disposal. You might not realize this, but inside of you is the same power that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Think about that for a moment. You picture that Easter Sunday morning that Jesus had been crucified on the previous Friday, and that was the third day. The sun was about to rise, and the earth began to shake, and the tomb was rolled away, and the lifeless body of Jesus became alive again, and He breathed in again. The same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead is alive in each one of you. And I want you to understand that. You can do great things in the Lord. God has positioned you perfectly. And He wants you to know that He is with you. He has poured, He has pumped His Spirit into you for a great purpose, and that is to bring Him glory. There is nothing you cannot accomplish inside of His will. He wants you to know that, and I pray that over you. I pray that you not only understand you have God's power in you, but you have freedom and you have license to exercise the great power of the Lord God Almighty inside His will. And that's what the Apostle Paul prays for. And that's what I pray for you. I pray that you will just understand the privilege it is, not just to be here in this house, but to be one of His children. There's nothing greater that you could ever have. That's a proactive way to pray. Because if I pray that over you, and you pray that over each other, and that results in our faith growing stronger, then that solves everything that really matters in our lives. It fixes problems today, or it definitely positions us to be able to handle the problems that exist. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world, That is reality is we need help to be able to cope and to manage and to get through and to experience God along the way. I want us to have a greater desire to pray those things more than anything else over each other, because that's what matters for all of eternity. Alicia and her team are going to come, and from the bottom of my heart, I wanted you to understand that because of the great love that I have for each one of you, it fills me with such gratitude, like it did the Apostle Paul. He wanted good things for his people, and so do I. But I want the things that matter the most. And I want you to know, and I just want you to trust and believe that that is how I pray for you. And if you started praying that, pray that over your kids. Pray that over your coworkers. Pray that over your friends. And just see what God might do with your prayers, because prayer matters and prayer equals change, especially the kind of prayer where the Lord God would say, wow, they get it. Do you think the Lord God wants to answer that kind of prayer more than just a broken toe? You better believe it. I am ready, from his perspective, to pour out the storehouse of blessing upon people that if you care enough to pray over the things that matter, you just wait and see what God will do in their life and in their heart. Alicia. I promised her I'd put her asleep as soon as I start preaching. I've asked mamas and daddies before, what do you want for your kids? And they say this primarily, which is good. They want them to be healthy and happy. But here's the thing. You can't get the cart before the horse on this. I want to tell you, mamas and daddies, grandmas and grandpas, how about churchgoer to churchgoer? You want those around you to be healthy and happy? There's another way to pray. This is what I pray over this little one. That one day she'll know Jesus. And she'll get it. She'll understand that life isn't about her. It's about him. And I pray that inside of God's will, there is nothing that she can't do, because she's a child of the one true King. And if I pray those things over her, and then the Lord God comes along beside her and she gives her life to him, then she will be healthy in all the ways that matter. And then she'll be healthy and she'll be happy and her life will matter. Church, you have the opportunity to engage in spiritual warfare, proactive prayers on behalf of somebody else. Make it count. Make your time in the throne room count. Pray for the things that matter over each other. Don't make this about you. Pray for somebody else, and in turn believe that they're praying for you. Oh, Rowan, I want you to be healthy and happy. And the only way to really be that is to know Jesus. I would let her down if I didn't pray that over her every day of her life. Church, learn to pray proactively on behalf of somebody else. Pray the things that matter. Pray for the things that are eternal. And then just trust that you're part of a family that loves you enough to pray for you. Church, you are sent.